Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Okay, we've found somebody who can help us out a little bit on this. Dr. Michelle Prickett is a pulmonary and critical care specialist in the COVID ICU unit at Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Prickett, thanks for joining us. You're on WGN Radio. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I just read that description of who you are. It was handed to me by my producer. So what are you doing most days then? Are you actually working with coronavirus patients?
Yes. So I just got off service. I was on last week, and we have been seeing a lot of coronavirus patients over the last year.
You know, all of this good news maybe neglects the fact that folks are still checking into the hospital, still dying, and still maybe suffering because there's just not that much we can do. Can you talk a little bit about what you do, and then I'll ask you more about the CDC guidelines?
Sure. I think, you know, my job is really the last line of defense. And so we see patients once they've been exposed, have had symptoms for a while, and start to develop acute respiratory distress syndrome requiring high oxygen requirements and potentially mechanical ventilation. So a lot of what I do is supportive care. We do use a lot of the therapeutics. However, when patients fail therapeutics or don't receive them early enough, we do have some long-term complications. So prevention is really the best course here, and staying healthy and avoiding contact is really our biggest recommendation.
We don't hear about therapeutics much these days. Those are being administered. Those are helping at times.
We are using therapeutics. The earlier that they're implemented, typically the better. So if you do think that you have coronavirus or symptoms suggestive, please get tested. Please contact your doctor and ask about some early therapeutics, monoclonals. We have two currently available. When patients do get hospitalized, we have additional therapeutics, including remdesivir and dexamethasone, to name a few. So there are treatments, but they don't work for everyone, and we still need to really practice safe distancing and protecting our community until we're all fully vaccinated.
Remdesivir is one of them. Hydroxychloroquine is not one of them?
The data have not shown that hydroxychloroquine has been effective. So we did try them early on. We personally did not see improvement, and that it bears out with the several studies that have been conducted to look for potential therapeutics.
One last thing. Did you see the New York Times video they produced? It runs about 15 minutes. They had some nurses in an ICU unit in New York wear GoPro cameras, and they videotaped. It was actually in Arizona that it took place, this hospital, but it was a New York Times piece, right, Olive?
Mm-hmm.
And they videoed what it was like, a day in the life of these people, several days actually, and how hard it was, and how people sometimes don't survive. I don't know if you saw that, but it was a reminder of how serious this is and how much we have to appreciate the work people like you are doing.
Thank you. Yes, I did see it. It is very accurate. This is a very invisible disease for many, but for those of us on the front lines, it's really all we've seen for the last year, and it can be significant in just weighing. So whatever I can do to help educate people about not getting infected and coming into our ICU, I'm happy to do that.
Let me read you these two sentences then. CDC guidelines are now this. Fully vaccinated Americans, fully vaccinated, the two shots and I guess a couple weeks afterwards, fully vaccinated Americans can gather with other vaccinated people indoors without wearing a mask or socially distancing, according to these long-awaited guidelines. The recommendations also say that vaccinated people can come together in the same way with people considered at low risk for severe diseases, such as in the case of vaccinated grandparents visiting healthy children and grandchildren who have not been vaccinated. So if I've got the vaccine and you're in my pod, and you haven't got it, but you're probably not at risk, we don't have to wear a mask, is what that's saying to me. Am I reading that correctly?
So what it says, yes, although it's a limitation when we're talking about unvaccinated people. So for fully vaccinated people, they can't...
Hold on a second, doctor. Your phone's gargling, and now we have to hear what you're about to say. Let's reconnect in just a minute. This is WGN. Dr. Michelle Prickett joins us, pulmonary and critical care specialist in the COVID ICU unit at Northwestern Medicine. Doctor, you were telling us just before we paused what this CDC guideline means. It sounds to me like if I got the vaccine, but you didn't, we can be together. How do you read this? What should we know?
Sure. So it's a really exciting day. I think this is the time that we have been looking forward to kind of understand how we can get back together. And so the new guidelines say that fully vaccinated persons, if everyone in your group is fully vaccinated, meaning at least 2 weeks after your last dose of vaccine, whether it's the Johnson & Johnson or the Pfizer or Moderna, those can congregate indoors without a mask or physical distancing. However, we know that not everyone is vaccinated, and there is going to be times when other household members who are low risk may be able to get together. And so the recommendations now are if unvaccinated people from a single household can get together with vaccinated people without masks. So this, for example, this is if both grandparents are vaccinated and family members are at low risk, so children who are not yet eligible for vaccine or other low-risk family members from a single household, they also can get together indoors without masking or physical distancing. We still want to use protective measures, masking, distancing, if anyone who is not vaccinated is in that high-risk category. So these are a welcome signs to say that we can get together slowly as we start to await vaccination, but we still want to protect our most vulnerable. So if there's anyone with a high-risk category, we still want to wear masks.
Which is what a lot of people are doing anyway. But mm-hmm. It's so tantalizing that the CDC would okay that it almost risks people saying, well, if they can do that, then I can do this. And they didn't say you can do this. They only said they can do that. So I want just us all to exercise caution and hear what they're saying. The scenario that they describe is the grandparent, the parents, and the grandchild. But I wonder if it's a couple of 40-year-olds, right? And none of us have been vaccinated, but we all are healthy and safe. None of us have got the virus. They're not talking about that, right? This is all predicated on at least one of the parties having the vaccine, first of all, right?
Correct. You're absolutely correct. So if no one is vaccinated and they're still low risk, we still want to maintain distancing, masks, and do outdoor activities whenever possible and have good ventilation. The CDC recommendations today are really talking about, as we start to vaccinate more, how can we safely keep the risk minimum while still having those mental health, things that make us feel like we're connected. And so for vaccinated individuals, getting together with a single household that is at low risk and is not vaccinated, that is the one scenario that we are allowing. If we're putting anyone who's at high risk and unvaccinated, we still want to go and do all the protective measures to keep them safe until they're able to be vaccinated or we have enough people in the community to get our risk of COVID within our community lower.
What about this question? Hey, Nick, you're on WGN Radio. What was your question? You're on the air, Nick.
Hi, guys. Doctor, a quick question. If I'm overly concerned and a bit skittish about things, I've had two vaccines. The period of time has passed. Would going in and checking for my antibody levels be overkill, or is that something that would give me some peace of mind?
We have not been routinely checking antibodies to this point. So I feel like if you are having concerns about being around others, it's still fine for you to wear a mask. We know that the mask still protects the wearer. I think, the antibody question has come up quite a bit. We are not using it clinically for most individuals outside of research studies at this point.
Okay, so we just take faith that getting two shots has given us coverage and we should feel comfortable with that?
And that's why we're saying it should be only vaccinated groups or one household with only low-risk individuals.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the phone call. Mm-hmm. My dad got his second shot and didn't have any reaction, and I said, yahoo. He said, yeah, but I know some people are concerned that they don't have a reaction to the second shot. Gives them pause, like maybe it's not taking, but it doesn't matter. As long as you get the second vaccine, regardless of your reaction to it, you're vaccinated, right?
Correct. So when the vaccine is administered, and this happened during the study, they did actually check serologies. We found that there was a good robust in the vast majority of those that were in the studies after 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks after the vaccine. But most people actually did not have an immune response that was detectable.
Oh, really?
It was
okay.
Large.
Good to hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
So over 50% in the study did not have a sizable response, but there was a portion that were. So just because you don't have a response does not mean that you do not have protection.
Do you suppose, though, I mean, say I had COVID-19 and therefore I have some natural immunity, can mm-hmm. we then say that I can also visit with my kids and grandkids the same way a vaccinated person can without socially distancing and the mask?
So the recommendations don't account for those that had a natural illness.
I noticed
and
that.
And we know that the vaccine actually targets the most specific part of the virus that is most transmissible, which is the spike protein. It's the entryway into the cell. And so right now, even those that had an infection previously, at least 14 days with symptom resolution, should get vaccinated when they're eligible, because we want people to have developed an immune response specifically to that spike protein.
Darn, because I had COVID-19 and I'd like to, and I'm not going to get the vaccine anytime soon. So I'm thinking, yeah, but I am vaccinated. But according to this, I still have to wear the mask. I still have to socially distance, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
And I'm not alone. I mean, how many people in the United States have had COVID-19? 29 million. There's 29 million of us, and probably a multiple of that have actually had it and don't know mm-hmm. it, who are quote-unquote naturally vaccinated. Do you know, does anybody know, if that vaccination that I built up having had COVID-19 is better or worse than the vaccination, the immunity I'll get from the vaccine?
So we don't know if they're better or worse, because everyone's immune system is different. And so knowing kind of what you're targeted to, we do know that this particular spike protein, having antibodies to that particular spike protein, is very effective. It's what all of our vaccines are targeted to. It's what our early therapeutics with monoclonals are really targeted to.
Yeah.
We know that's really the gateway. And so we don't know all the individuals, all the 29 million of Americans plus that have been have had the infection. We don't know what specific part antibodies they created toward which part of the virus, which is why the recommendation is to get vaccinated, even if you have the infection, because we want everyone to have really that gateway to reducing transmission.
And the COVID ICU at Northwestern Medicine, Dr. Michelle Prickett's on a phone line for just a couple more minutes. Barbara, jump in here. What was your question for the doctor?
My husband and I, hello, John. Hello, doctor. My husband and I are both fully vaccinated 3 weeks ago, second shot. We have very, very close friends who refuse to mask and will not get vaccinated. Is it a moral, what does CDC say should be our relationship with them? Or do we have to end our friendship to keep them safe and to keep ourselves safe?
So congratulations on your vaccine. And I think, you know, just speaking of it and advocating for it is a good thing. The current recommendations are if it is one household and you are both fully vaccinated, it would be okay to get together with them inside the home without masks, without social distancing. Now, if there's a party and there's other household members, so a large gathering, we still want to go. Even if you're fully vaccinated, you still want to wear a mask. You still want to have ventilated areas, distancing, hand washing, all those recommendations. So I won't comment on friendships.
I will. And you don't have to be their friends anymore if you don't want to, because that so disrespects your friendship. Go ahead, doctor.
But I think, you know, the moderate to large gatherings is another component of this recommendations, and they're still, despite, you know, if everyone is vaccinated at this current time, there's still going to be those that are high risk that are not vaccinated. So when we can't tell them apart. And so any moderate to large size gathering, we still want to all use the appropriate safety precautions, masking, ventilation, distancing.
And by the way, doctor, if I may, I'm just reading the guidelines again. So if I got the vaccine, I can get together indoors with people without wearing a mask or social distancing if they are low risk. But a senior citizen would be a high risk person. So if they're a high risk person, it says the recommendations also say the vaccinated people can come together in the same way with people considered low risk for severe disease, such as the case of vaccinated grandparents visiting the children. But that's because those are low risk. A senior citizen, a 70-year-old, say, would be higher risk, right? So if
that's correct.
So if you've got the vaccine, but that senior citizen doesn't have the vaccine, fully vaccinated Americans can gather with other vaccinated people or with other people who are low risk. So in her case, maybe whatever the friendship is, maybe you shouldn't just because they are high-risk individuals.
If they're high-risk individuals, then you shouldn't. Yes. If they're a low risk in one household, this is the big change in the guideline.
Michelle Prickett, I'd like to talk to you again another day. Thank you for doing the work that you're doing, and thank you for helping us out this morning. We'll visit another time.
Thank you. Take care.